Turner, expert on Tarab music. That was our tribute to the most famous female singer of Zanzibar.
Lucy Duran bringing that edition of World Roots to a close. The programme was produced by Juan Carlos Jaramillo. And remember, you can always listen again by going to Radio 3's website. Next week, in a programme first heard last year, Lucy visits Salvador da Bahia in northeastern Brazil, as World Roots records some of the finest musicians in this historic city, including the singer-songwriter Mateus Aleluia, rising stars Baiana System, and Bahia's most famous musical export, Virginia Rodriguez. That's World Roots next Sunday night.
Radio 3 live in concert with the sounds of an American festival. The Royal Scottish National Orchestra at Edinburgh's Usher Hall goes stateside with piano concertos by Aaron Copland and Samuel Barber and John Adams's Dr. Atomic Symphony.
I love the orchestral music in the opera, and I regretted the fact that once these productions were over, I couldn't hear it anymore. And so I determined to make a symphony out of the music.
Learn more about the symphony in the interval and tune in to Radio 3 Live in Concert, Friday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, our live concert tomorrow night is from the Wigmore Hall. It's one of the pianist Graham Johnson's series of French song recitals. He's joined by the soprano Geraldine McGreevy and the baritone Henk Naven for a programme of Debussy, Satie, Roussel and Faure. That's at 7:30 tomorrow night. And earlier in the day, Donald MacLeod presents a new Composer of the Week. He's the Dane Carl Nielsen. Join Donald for that at 12 midday or again at 6:30 tomorrow evening. Well, earlier than that, we have the Mozart Requiem to begin our nightly selection of music through the night at 12:30. That's with Susan Sharp. Now, though, it's 11:20 and it's time for Jazz Lineup here on BBC Radio 3 with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's show, a feast of pianists with highlights from Jason Robello and Dave Newton's piano duo, recorded at this year's Steinway Piano Festival at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in Soho, London. Also on the programme, an interview with pianist and composer Kit Downs, speaking about his brand new album Light from Old Stars, the musical influences, and a fascination for astronomy.
You know, when you look up in the sky, you look at some stars and some of them will already be dead, and the only thing that exists of them anymore is the light that's travelling towards you, so the actual thing doesn't exist anymore. So it's a form of time travelling in a way. And I love that analogy with music. The language itself is the thing that still exists, and even though they're not there anymore, their music lives on, and, you know, it's very relevant, I think.
Kit Downs. And stay tuned for news of a brand new year-long exhibition running at the Royal Academy of Music in London, celebrating the artistry of trumpeter and composer Kenny Wheeler. First up, let's go straight back to the source to one of the brightest of all stars, Louis Armstrong, and I Got a Right to Sing the Blues.
What's the matter with you, boy? Don't you know I got a right to sing the blues? Listen at this. Look out. 1, 2.
I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I got a right to hang around down among the rim world. A certain gal in this old town keeps dragging my poor heart around. Babe, all I'm seeing from me in misery. Oh, I got a right to moan and sigh. Got a right to sit and cry down the river. Oh, babe, I know the deep blue sea will soon be calling me. It must be love, say what you choose. I got a right to sing the blues.
featuring one of my favorite trumpet solos of all time from a new box set called the OK Columbia and RCA Victor Recordings 1925 to 1933, Louis Armstrong and his orchestra from 1933, and I've Got a Right to Sing the Blues, out now on the Sony label. The 10 CD box set covers Lewis's music in 1920s Chicago, from the Hot Fives and Sevens to his work with pianist Earl Father Hines, and to New York, working with trombonist Jack Teagarden, guitarist Eddie Lang, vocalist Seeger Ellis, and the Dorsey Brothers. His Savoy Ballroom Five into the 1930s, with his Sebastian New Cotton Club Orchestra in Los Angeles. It's full of great music and a wealth of excellent performances from the master. Back to the piano and the rich rhythmic compositional sound of South American musician Leo Blanco, who will be touring the UK over the summer. Jazz Lineup will be recording the Venezuelan pianist as part of this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival on June the 26th at the recital room of Glasgow's City Halls. Here's the pianist on Good Form from his album Africa Latina, featuring Billy Drews on bass clarinet, Peter Slavov on acoustic bass, Antonio Sanchez on drums, and Leo on the piano and kashishi. Pianist Leo Blanco and his World Jazz Ensemble paired down to a quartet, and that track was called Long Term from his album of 2008, Africa Latina. Infectious rhythms from the Venezuelan pianist and composer. And if that was to your liking, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage via the Radio 3 website for Leo's upcoming tour around the UK in the summer. And stay tuned for more piano magic later on in the show with tonight's concert set featuring musical powerhouses Jason Rebello and Dave Newton. Talking of musical powerhouses, Kit Downs has a new album called Light from Old Stars. Now, Kit is one of the most gifted of a new generation of British jazz musicians and continues to expand a personal concept through his inquisitive investigation of early Delta blues and the music of pianist Paul Bley, amongst a vast array of other influences, including a fascination for astrological science. We discuss this and more in an interview coming up shortly after this from the new album, What's the Rumpus? The album is Light from Old Stars. The track was What's the Rumpus? And the pianist is Kit Downs, featuring his quintet. And I'm very happy to say that Kit joins us. Welcome, Kit.
Thanks, Julian.
Blues seems to figure very deeply in your approach to playing. you infuse blues. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have spotted the influence of Brad Mehldau, but it doesn't sound like you're trying to play like him. It actually sounds like you understand the way he infuses blues in his playing and are attracted to that in the same way.
That's the thing I like probably most about him. I went through a period of listening to Brad Mehldau a lot.
I remember.
And after I sort of checked Brad Mehldau out, I started checking out Paul Bley very heavily. And what I love about Paul Bley is that there's very strong melodicism and very heavy groove feel, but it's abstraction. So he takes very strong bluesy melodies when he's improvising, and he can put them in any key or any which way, and he can distort them, but it still has that very joyful, soulful, bluesy vibe, you know, that is all over Ornette's music as well. And I think that was a big inspiration. That and Mingus and the blues itself made me really want to reference that stuff, because it was really what I was listening to a lot. And the same with Frizzell, I'd been listening to him a lot, and that was a big influence. So I sort of wanted to tie up all those slightly disparate approaches to the blues. Plus, I have this friend, Chris Montague, who I play in the band Troika with, and he's just a walking sort of library of blues guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what I love about him, is that his whole approach to guitar is from the instrument rather than genre-specific. So he just knows all guitar music.
Right.
And he hit me to a lot of older, early sort of Delta blues singers and right. things like that, where it's quite warped and quite weird, and, you know, the move to chord four is just whenever they feel like it, or when it ties to the lyrics. And I love that idea of freedom, that it gets back to that sort of almost cueing sort of things, and rather than all being set sort of 12 bar blues forms with 2-5-1s and things. And it's, and the vibe of that music is so powerful as well, in not maybe in such a sort of celebratory bluesy way in later music, but in a very melancholic, reflective, you know, there's something very defiant about that music. I'm talking about people like Howlin' Wolf or Skip James or Blind Willie McTell, Rob Johnson, those kind of guys. There's a very defiant message to it, but it's very vulnerable and very bleak in a way as well. Mm. And I really wanted some of that in my music, because it's so three-dimensional, that music. There's so many sides to it. Mm.
Is that why the album is called Light from Old Stars?
There are lots of reasons why it's called that. I wanted to have a title that wasn't overly descriptive of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's definitely a big reason. I mean, he would hate me sort of referring to him as an old star, but playing with Stan Saltzman, that's how I feel. You know, people that have been doing this for a very high level for a very long time, that's really where, you know, you can get a lot of energy from that. And I wanted that to feel, and also that sort of my source inspiration for a lot of the things I'd written is the same, you know, it's from old sources, but by virtue of the fact that by the time it gets to you, that makes it new. I also wanted to mess with the idea of scale. So I remember seeing I'm a sort of amateur astronomy enthusiast, and I was watching a program and they were talking about, you know, when you look up in the sky, there's you look at some stars, and some of them will already be dead, and the only thing that exists of them anymore is the light that's travelling towards you. So the actual thing doesn't exist anymore. So it's a form of time travelling in a way.
Yeah.
And I love that analogy with music, that the language itself is the thing that still exists, and mm-hmm. even though they're not there anymore, their music lives on, and, you know, it's very relevant, I think.
Well, the next piece we're going to listen to is called Outlawed, and you feature a great bass solo from Callum Gawley.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to bring out your R&B side, let's say. Tell us a little more about Outlawed.
This came from, I originally was doing an exercise in writing hockets. Mm-hmm. And hocketing is, you take a melody and you give each instrument one note of that melody, and they play it in succession, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing an exercise in that. I started on the piano and then orchestrated it out for my quintet. And then that was a sort of fine piece. Didn't really go anywhere. And I thought, and I'd had this bass line rumbling around in my head from a Frizzell record I'd heard. And I sort of wanted to warp it slightly and do something different with it. And then I was just that classic thing, if you've got two pieces and you're trying to work on them as separate entities, and then I was playing the bass line in my left hand, and then I was like, looking at the other piece of music idly, sort of wondering what to do, and I started playing the other thing over the top of it. It's like, that totally fits, that's fine.
That's why the tapping, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the tapping, so that's me piano playing. And then once I had that idea, then I had a strong thing of these two sort of different moods to play with, and I wanted to sort of go in and out of that and maintain the hocketing thing throughout the theme, but over the blues, which made the blues feel a bit more warped, that you've got this sort of weird hocket theme on it. And then I also wanted to have a spot for Callum to play. Callum is an incredible improviser. The way he plays is sort of almost a lot of the time in that vein of Scott LaFaro, in the way that it's a dialogue with me all the time, and I love that, and it feels very supportive. But he's also got that big PC Paul Chambers thing to his playing, where it's everything just comes from a bass line. It's just grounds everything.
Well, let's hear the groove vibe from Outlawed.
Thank you.
Outlawed from Kit Downs. The album is Light from Old Stars. The next piece we're going to hear is called The Mad Wren, and the element that you use when you include the cello is quite an interesting color in terms of the way the melody is plucked and then bowed. It really creates a very interesting timbre.
There are two main sort of inspirations for getting cello in. I mean, I had cello in my last album with a guy called Adrian Denfield, who's great and sadly could no longer keep doing it because he had coming from the south of France each time to do it. But also I'd known Lucy from college and I'd done stuff before but with her, but it had always been sort of syrupy strings before. Right. And I didn't really want to do that again. I mean, I love that stuff as well, you know, Parker with strings, the whole thing is great. With this bluesy sort of thing in mind, I wanted a really raw kind of folky thing to it. And there were two sort of main inspirations. One was actually a viola player called Matt Maneri, who plays with Craig Table on his album Junk Magic. And the way they use the viola on that implies some really ancient kind of music or something. You can't really pin what you think that instrument is, but they do some effects to it and things. But I just love the way they use it for melody and for counter melody. And so that was an inspiration. And the other was the Frizzell's 858 quartet. And the big inspiration for that was how, incorporating a string trio with guitar, how they dealt with dynamics and acoustics on live gigs and on the records. I mean, all the records are beautifully produced anyway, that guy Lee Townsend. But on the gig, it was really amazing to see them playing. It was at the QH, I think. And for every section that there was a very nice little point in the music, they would come down in dynamic rather than up. And, you know, individually as well, when someone would have something really nice, things would come down rather than go up, and everything would be matched to the level of where the string instrument sounds good, rather than often the strings are having to really kind of try right. and cut through.
Yeah.
And I think we wanted to get this, so we started doing our gigs completely acoustic and just matching our level to the level of Lucy, who's got a great big sound, so it's not impossible either. You know, it's just difficult for James, imagine, because playing drums, playing what he's playing at a very quiet volume is really hard, and it's a real testament to him that he can do it. And sort of knowing that I had people that had that skill, same with Allsop, to be able to play those things so quietly and at some quite extreme registers sometimes, I thought, you know, that's the thing I want to show off about it. You know, it's a very fragile, beautiful thing that. And so we started really working on that, and you can't understand why you didn't do it before. But because it's just control, you have so much more control. Absolutely. And you can really play with the audience as well, you know, getting them into the space where they suddenly realize that they're listening to just what's in front of them. It's not coming through any speakers or anything. That's a very powerful thing, I think.
It is.
And it's also just where all the instruments sound best, you know. Piano sounds gross coming through,
hence why they're acoustic instruments.
Yeah, exactly. And hence why they're natural amplifiers, you know. They got soundboards, they got lids, that's all meant to help.
That's right.
And it's only sort of with drums that it can become really hard, but then, you know, that's why
you have to have a sympathetic drummer.
That's why I'm so lucky to have James, you know, because I can do that kind of stuff.
And he's on great form on this record.
Yeah, I mean, James is unbelievable. He's very inspiring to have been playing with him since I was at college. Every time I'm on a gig with him and Callum and Lucy and James, I just feel really stretched on my own music, which is like ideal.
Well, thank you very much, Kit, for coming in and speaking to us about the new album Light from Old Stars. I'm really enjoying listening to it, and we're going to finish with a composition called The Mad Wren. Thank you very much, Kit Downs.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Kit Downs and The Mad Wren, and my thanks to Kit for coming in to speak with me. The new album is called Light from Old Stars and released on Basho Records tomorrow. I'm Julian Joseph, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio, and remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. Many of you may have been checking out your local independent record stores as part of this year's Record Store Day celebrations across the country this weekend. Just one of the many releases for Record Store Day includes a reissue of Peruvian high-octane vocalist Imar Sumac, boasting a near 5-octave range and lovingly repressed on Glasgow-based Poppy Disc Records. Here's Imar with a Moises Vivanco composition arranged and conducted by Billy May, with the track Taki Rari. Dubbed direct from vinyl, that was Imar Sumac with Taki Rari from the album Mambo, especially released for Record Store Day on the Poppy Disc Records label. Our concert set this week is from the Two Piano Steinway Festival, recorded at the Pizza Express Club in Dean Street, Soho, on the 21st of March. Now in its fifth year, the festival has played host to a variety of international and local piano talent, and both Newton and Rebello cover both those categories as world-class musicians in their own right. The artistic roster for 2013 season also featured Alex Wilson with Cesar Correa, and Hungarian pianist Gabor Cseke and Janos Nagy, and we'll bring you highlights from those sets too over the coming weeks. Back to our featured duo for this evening, Dave Newton and Jason Rebello, and they start the set with a composition by Dave Newton called Katie's Song. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'd like to continue now with a little-known Herbie Hancock song, and this is a thing called Just Enough that he wrote, I think, specifically for Eliana Elias. And it's a very, very pretty tune, and Jason is going to kick it off.
The Herbie Hancock composition called Just Enough, played by two of my favourite British pianists, Dave Newton and Jason Rebello. Before that, they played Katie's Song, which started off their set. And for details of all the titles played tonight, check out the Jazz Lineup playlist via the Radio 3 website. Next up, news on an exhibition featuring the music, work and thinking of trumpeter and composer Kenny Wheeler, taking place at the Royal Academy of Music. Curator Nick Smart from the Academy will be joining me shortly after we hear from the man himself, Kenny Wheeler, on a track from his seminal album from 1976, New High. This is Smatter.
Thank you.
Kenny Wheeler from his seminal recording of 1976 New High. And that was Smatter with Jack DeJohnette on the drums, Dave Holland on bass, and Keith Jarrett on piano. And even though it was recorded in 1975, it came out in 1976 on the ECM label. Kenny is the subject of an exhibition that opened at the Royal Academy of Music in London this week and runs till April 2014. To tell us more, I'm joined by the head of jazz at the Academy and curator of the exhibition, Mr. Nick Smart. Welcome, Nick. It's good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
How did putting together an exhibition about his music and his work come about for you?
The idea of it came off the back of us acquiring his archive at the Academy. And then the new head of the exhibitions department, who'd worked previously in New York and was aware of the importance of it as a jazz acquisition, came up with the idea for us to maybe have one of our public exhibitions dedicated to Kenny, which I was thrilled about.
So you received all this archive material from Kenny.
Mm.
Sorting it out and figuring out how you were going to present it in this exhibition, that's a mammoth task.
Yeah, that was a big job, and there were so many extraordinary sides to his life. Each chapter could have been an exhibition in itself. So what we've ended up with is the simplest way to visualise it. It's like a walk-in biography.
Right.
So you walk round this room with various albums that act as landmarks for various chapters throughout his career. So there's the Dankworth Live in Newport from 59,
right,
which represents his arrival in the UK and various stories and pictures from that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then New High, which you just played Smatter from, that album represents the ECM period and that kind of 70s and 80s. And so that's how we try to make sense of such an extraordinary story.
Yes, Nick, and to help our listeners visualise the kinds of artefacts and treasures in the exhibition, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage. Nick, what do you want visitors to go away with, thinking and feeling?
Well, I think something about what makes Kenny so unique, that there's this extraordinary figure who's excelled in every aspect of being a professional musician and a jazz musician. So even from being in session bands and TV bands through to extraordinary contributions to free jazz, to conventional jazz playing in Dankworth and big bands and sideman work with other people, and then this unbelievable output of compositions and personal statements as a musician, and an utterly unique, recognisable voice on his instrument, which that on its own would have been a remarkable feat. But to do all of it and be such a gentle, kind, kind of funny person alongside it, it's just a remarkable situation.
Yeah, I mean, he always strikes me as someone who's so down to earth and you know, there's no airs and graces.
Mm.
He's just very matter of fact, actually, about everything.
Yeah, that's absolutely genuine, I think. That is how he is.
You've titled this exhibition using the word melancholy. Can you just tell us a little more about that?
Well, Kenny always had this attraction to... He's always joked, sad music makes me happy. And that one of his great quotes is, I write sad songs and let the musicians destroy them. And there's always been this affinity with something that somehow... melancholy. And I did some interviews with Kenny for the exhibition and asked him about that.
I've always been like to play with little vibrato, if any, you know.
Right.
So, because that's why I always like Miles so much, because he hardly used any vib, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably because of my love of melancholic music, you know.
Trumpeter Kenny Wheeler speaking with Nick Smart, my special guest today. It seems like it's going to be an absolute great exhibition. It's going to be full of things that are going to inform and anything that you think will surprise people?
Yeah, there's a few. I think even for people that would think they know a lot about this music, there's still things, as there was for me, early sketches of scores and funny photos and letters home, and there's some really great stuff. And it's open every day. You can just walk in off the street and have a look.
Thank you so much, Nick Smart, for coming in to speak with us.
Thanks very much.
The exhibition is called Kenny Wheeler, Master of Melancholy Chaos, and is on now at the Royal Academy of Music and runs till April 2014. Well, that's almost the end of the show, but remember, plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday night at 11. This week he's got American pianist Marilyn Crispell in performance with UK improvisers Eddie Prevo on percussion and saxophonist Harrison Smith. And on next week's jazz lineup, Kevin Legendre will join Claire Martin for this month's Now's the Time feature. There's an interview with pianist Zoe Rahman in advance of her appearance at the Brighton Festival and a look at UNESCO's upcoming International Jazz Day. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Hello from me, Susan Sharp, and welcome to Through the Night. The programme opens with another in our series of choral concerts. At the 2011 Proms, Stephen Layton conducted his choir Polyphony and the City of London Sinfonia in Mozart's D minor Requiem. And it's that performance we're going to hear now, with soprano Emma Bell, contralto Renata Pokupic, tenor Ian Bostridge and the baritone Henk Neven. This is the work Mozart was in the middle of when he died on the 5th